want to mention a couple of things before we get into the message here real quick. Want to thank Miss Megan, who's been with us for several years. This is kind of her final Sunday with us. She graduated and she's all set to go, and so she is looking for gainful full employment in her vocation of music, and so we want to give her a round of applause. Thank you so much, Megan. It's been great having you. You will see her tomorrow night too if you're here for 7 o'clock. They'll still be around. They'll still be coming to church and stuff like that. So we want to be praying for her and the family as well. So as a little boy, there were 5 kids in our family, so a total of 7. And we lived in this little house that had 1 bathroom. Anybody been there? Right? Some of you have been there. This was in St. Louis Park, Minnesota. And it was just like a suburb right outside of Minneapolis, west of Minneapolis. It was awesome to have such a small house with so many people, especially when everyone had the flu or something maybe from the other end. You know, you're running around either holding this or holding this, and you're kind of figuring out where you kind of had to go. And sometimes it was, you could wait. Sometimes you had to find a bucket. Sometimes you had to go in the backyard. You just didn't know what to do when everybody was sick at the same time. Now, when the family came to town, so we're talking around Christmas time or any time special family would come, cousins and stuff like that from Wisconsin and other folks, there could be like 20 people in our house. And I'm not kidding. Any of you been there before? With 1 bathroom, right? And an air conditioning unit. You didn't, right? You didn't. Some of you probably didn't even have air conditioning, right? And so everyone would sleep over, and there was no room. And really, people literally slept on the floor. Now, some might sleep in the garage. Kids, we'd park out in the garage or whatever, and a couple maybe out in the car. We'd have a van, and you'd throw a couple sleeping bags in there and do the crazy, crazy stuff. But what people had to do while they were there was find room or find some kind of space to sleep in it. To be honest, back then, no one thought anything about it. It was what you did, and it was also fun. Now, if you wanted to sleep for the night, you had to find this room, you had to create the space, you had to make use of a corner or a spot in the attic or sleep under a ping pong table, or we always had this storm table down in the basement where you would hide for tornadoes. And early on in our career, it was I still ended up with the tail end of the duck and cover drill, so you know, you'd run underneath and you'd hide there and Russians were going to attack, all sorts of stuff going on. But today, you have to have a room available for every visitor, don't you? Because we all know that God detests those who sleep on the floor and those who don't buy houses big enough to accommodate the whole family. God just doesn't care for that. I had you in mind. What I do know, and I think what my boys know, is that because of that experience, I can sleep on a slab of concrete. Still today, I have no problem sleeping anywhere, even at my ripe old age of 30 plus 28. So when Armageddon hits, most folks are going to have a hard time finding a place to rest. But not me. Pavement is my friend. It's not preferred, but it will do. It's what I love about Mary and Joseph. I want you to listen to a bit of their story. If you want to turn with me to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, and I'm going to be reading verses 1 through 7. It may seem odd that I'm reading this before Christmas Eve night, but I love this particular story, Luke 2, 1 through 7, says this: In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes or cloth and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Many translations, you know, say that Mary was about to give birth and there was no room for them in the inn. My Bible here doesn't say that. I just threw that in because a lot of the popular ones say that. But the word in here is katolma. I'm pronouncing it bad, but that's the Greek word. And it means a guest room in a normal house. So Luke uses another term for inn when he's talking about the Marriott or whatever it is. He uses another term. In this, he uses a normal house. So here, we believe Luke is talking about a house, and most likely this house was one owned by Mary and Joseph's relatives. They were there, you see, to be registered for the census. Bethlehem was most likely too small to even have a Holiday Inn Express. And so this, it is believed by many scholars, was a relative's home. 2,000 years ago, this inn would have been that family house that maybe had an addition onto it. You remember some of us who had the one bathroom, we'd put the addition on. Maybe have an additional bedroom or an additional bathroom that's thrown on. And these guys 2,000 years ago, they would have those kinds of rooms for their guests, and they'd have small living room, and off the living room they would have a guest room, maybe for a relative or whatever to drop in, or sometimes they'd even sleep up on the roof, right? And at this particular time, the house was full up. But Mary and Joseph were very resourceful. They could sleep on rocks, dirt, whatever it took. And even as they did that, they would be by family. No biggie for them. They would go to the dusty, manure-laden cave that was right outside and give birth and go to sleep. So they found and they made room in the dirtiest piece of property on the family ground. So when Mary gave birth, the Bible tells us she wrapped Jesus in cloth. And so we have this beautiful picture, don't we, of Jesus wrapped up and, you know, it's kind of rocking the little baby and stuff like that. But again, 2,000 years ago, the way they wrapped babies after they were born was straight-armed and straight-legged. So they would wrap these pieces around the arms and around their legs so everything would be straight because they believed that that would keep the baby's limbs growing strong. And they could be that way for 3 months. That was the normal procedure. And so the baby would go to sleep with outstretched arms and legs. So for those of us that are thinking, hello, fetal position and being all cuddled up and stuff like that, no, it's goodbye, fetal position. And I'm thinking, boy, talk about a crying baby, right? What is most shocking is that Mary laid Jesus down in a manger. And we know a little bit about that, right? We know that that's an animal feeding trough. And so even an inexperienced mother some 2,000 years ago, this would be considered crazy. Even for poor moms, this would be crazy to lay your baby in an animal feeding trough. Totally inappropriate, much less for the Messiah. So you can imagine what Mary must have been feeling at this time. Humility. And so outside this house was this barn or a cave, they say, dirty, disgusting. It was there that Mary and Joseph found room to birth their firstborn son, the Messiah, whom we call Jesus. Now, you know, parents, if you were ever mad at Jesus for walking into your house with dirty sandals on, and he got mud all over the carpet, and mom or dad, you say, "Hey, were you born in a barn?" Jesus would say, "Yeah, I was." So we all think Jesus was turned away from this inn. That's kind of the picture we have in our mind. "Ah, there's no room for you. Get out of here. Go somewhere else." And they had to find a stable somewhere. But most likely David's family just didn't have enough room in the immediate house. So they went to the family animal cave. They found some place to sleep. They found some room. And that sounds kind of like my family when they would come over. It'd be nowhere to go, so people would just find room. They'd go wherever they could to sleep. Everyone trying to find room. Could you imagine putting your kid in an animal feeding trough when they're born? Not today. Today it would have to be disinfected, inspected for bugs, wiped down with ammonia, vinegar, bleach, and then tested by the nearest forensics specialist for purity. We've become wimps. You know what Dr. Luke is trying to tell us? This whole story, I think Dr. Luke is trying to tell us something. He's trying to tell us that from the beginning, the Messiah, this Jesus, is going to surprise us. He's going to always do the unexpected. And wasn't all of this, even the story, unexpected? That's not how a king is supposed to arrive. No. Triumph. Victory. Not in a trough. Not in some cave. And then Jesus even goes on further and surprises us. He eats and he drinks with sinners. Well, you don't do that when you're the Messiah. You only hang out with the good people, the righteous people. And then he turns water into wine and he does all this miraculous stuff. He touches lepers. He does the unexpected. And Luke is telling us right from the beginning, oh boy, you think this is it right here, the birth? Just wait. You're going to be filled with surprises by the Messiah. You know, I learned something else as I was reading through this. I never thought of it before. But the dirty cave or the barn, whatever you want to call it, the stable, the dirty animal feeding trough, right? Well, what made that scene so beautiful to us? Because it's an ugly scene. You know that, right? It's an ugly scene. What makes it beautiful? The Messiah. What brings light to the room? The Messiah does. It's kind of like the cross. I mean, equate that with what happened on the cross where Jesus was hung in a dump. I mean, this is where they, Golgotha, this is where they dumped all the garbage and dead animals, dead bodies. It's such an ugly, ugly picture. But when we look at the cross, it's beautiful. Our hearts are like the animal feeding trough, the manger, because they're dirty, they're disgusting, and they're full of bugs. But the question for us is, will we make room for Jesus to enter that mess? Will we let him be a light in those dark and dreary chambers that we call the heart? And then once he's there, will we give him the room that he needs to work so that he can clean house and wash us and make us as white as snow? You know, Jesus is so powerful that even if your heart is full of junk and dirt and grime and bacteria, if you but open the door, Jesus knows how to find the room. Jesus knows where he needs to go. We just have to open the door. So if you've never opened your heart to him, if you've never opened that door, would you be willing to do that? That's what the Bible is about. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And so this Christmas, my hope and prayer is that you find room for Jesus in your heart, or let him in and let him find that space. Then let him clean house. We're going to sing a closing hymn, O Little Town of Bethlehem. It's a great, great song, House of Bread. And of course, we always equate that with Jesus as the bread of life. But as I was reading my devotions this morning, I stumbled onto this verse that fit real well from the Old Testament, from the book of Joshua 24:23. And Joshua had just, they parsed out all the land and all that sort of stuff to the Israelites, and everybody's got their plot and all sorts of things going on. It's wonderful, wonderful time in the life of Israel. And so he says to them, gives a little speech, and he says, throw away the foreign gods that are among you and yield your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel. In other words, what he's saying is, throw away all that trash, get rid of it, stop worshiping it, and open your hearts and make room for God, the God of Israel. Would you join me in a word of prayer, and then we'll sing our closing song together. Lord Jesus, you are so good to us. And obviously we're all sitting here going, we don't deserve it, and we know that. But praise be to you as our heavenly King, that you have brought grace and mercy and forgiveness and power and might and your word. You just brought it all to us. And so we open our hearts up to you today and say thank you. And Lord, even though many of us, I'm hoping every one of us in here believes in you as Savior and Lord, let's say all of us do, Lord, help us to make some more room. Open it up even wider so that you can get rid of some more junk so that we can walk right with you. I pray for each person that's in here today over this Christmas season, Christmas break, whatever time they may have off. Lord, that you will love them in a special way. Lord, that as you work and walk in their lives, mine as well, that we will go out there and we'll smile at people, we'll love on people, just like these candles, love, peace, joy. Lord Jesus, we need to have all of that. And would you help us to display that light, that little light that was in that manger in the form of you as a baby becoming one of us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.